Last Monday morning, I was cooking breakfast and a thought occurred to me. It was something I hadn't thought about in months. The thought was, and it was very, very clear, you need to get the parts for the dishwasher today. Now, our dishwasher works well enough. I mean, it's a fairly recent model, but it had three broken plastic pieces that kept the top rack working as it should. You know how that is. I mean, that's one of the first things to go. And, you know, I had put it off because I I'd held it together with twist ties, and I didn't want to, you know, track down the model number and look up the parts diagram and go to the appliance store and see if the parts were still available and pay an arm and a leg for two plastic clips and a little wheel and then wait for them to come in. Got better things to do with my time, thank you. But the thought came to me so clearly, you need to get the parts for the dishwasher, that I decided to do it. Now, that was about 7:15, and 7:45, Carrie and I were on the way to the shop to drop her car off, because that was something else that needed to be fixed, just the brakes needed to be done. But as we're on the way there, I see this dishwasher at the side of the road that someone was throwing out. So I pull the car over. Carrie looks at me like I'm crazy. But I whip open the dishwasher. Same make, different model, but the parts would work. Thank you very much. I even have spares. Later that morning, my dishwasher was fixed quickly and for free. Now, I mention this to you because I want to ask this question. Where did that thought come from? You need to get the parts for your dishwasher today. What was that? Because I would maintain the very happy thought that that did not come from me. Now, some in this world might look at that skeptically, even cynically. I know there was a time in my life when I would have. But I didn't know then what I know now. And I hadn't experienced then what I have seen again and again by now. And what I've seen pales in comparison to many, I am sure, but still. Today we're going to talk about a wonderful thing. And we need to understand it that way, because if we don't, I believe we will miss out on so much. So let's go to our text this morning, back to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. But before we do, may we pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Oh, give us ears to hear and hearts to love and follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verses 1 through 11. Last week, we talked about his mother's, Hannah's prayers for him. Hannah, whose name means favored, you know, before he was even conceived. Now here's the boy, Samuel, whose name means heard by God. Here we go. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now, it's kind of like, you know, can I have a drink of water? That's probably where Eli's going in his mind. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." First, let's get rid of the elephant in the room. Some people think they hear from God when they frankly do not. Like the grad student who told his co-ed colleague that the Lord had told him that he was going to marry her, and she responded, "Funny, he didn't tell me that." Now, at the same time, I don't mean to be overly critical, because some people overreact with instances like that and jump to the opposite and equally wrong conclusion that God doesn't really speak to us. And they are both in error. The teaching of the Word of God is very clear on this. God does speak to His people. Certainly, He speaks to us through His Word, and we must start there first, and first each day. And because Jesus is risen and at home in our hearts through His Spirit, the challenge then becomes how to rightly ascertain what it means to hear God, what God is saying, where He is leading. Now, usually this kind of discussion starts with someone talking about certain ways that God speaks, His Word, as I mentioned, circumstances, the counsel of godly people, all good things. God uses all of these. But you may also sometimes hear about dreams or even visions. And sometimes people will weight those overly much, and we have to be careful there again, because this is not simply about our experiences. Whatever we experience, again, must never contradict God's Word. But what you rarely, hardly ever hear, if someone talks about this, is that God may speak to you in an audible voice. Let's get rid of the other elephant in the room. There is a reality that people who are mentally unstable claim to hear from God and do outrageous things because they hear voices in their heads. This is a sad truth that requires spiritual wisdom to discern, because sometimes it's medical and clinical, and other times it is spiritual oppression that is going on. Remember, our adversary, the devil, is a liar and a counterfeiter. And he takes God's Word and God's truth and the way God moves and tries to twist it. So while we usually don't hear from God in audible voices, I'm also going to add this: we can't rule it out biblically. And why is that? We just read it, right? I mean, God spoke clearly, audibly to Samuel. And wouldn't you love to have this conversation with him? Oh, God doesn't speak to us audibly, did he? Well, he did to me. Now, I don't believe, again, that God usually speaks audibly, but I'm not going to rule it out. I do believe that usually we're going to hear from Him more in words that are impressions on our spirit. It happened to me as recently as this morning. But I also believe that sometimes God speaks to us by giving us visual pictures. I think of a time when I was going to preach here at Peace on the subject of abortion. And because this is a topic which is a challenging one for many people, I was really laboring over how to enter into that topic and how to introduce it. I could not come up with the right opening that particular day, and this was several years ago. And that morning, it was a Wednesday morning when I was writing the sermon and I was had to take Carrie to work. It was in the middle of winter. And I'll never forget it. As I was coming back, it was very early. It was about 4:45 in the morning. And as I'm crossing the bridge over the Eno River, I have this picture that I've just hit a deer, and I'm standing in front of the car, and I'm looking at the front of the car and looking at the deer. And I think, man, I got up too early. I need to go back to bed. So I round the corner going to our house, and then I realized, now I need to stop at the drugstore for something. Maybe they'll be open. So I went down to the 24-hour drugstore. I'm on the way when all of a sudden a deer crosses in front of the car. Then I think, okay, I'm going to slow down. Where there's one, there's usually two. So I slow down, another one crossed. Second one crossed, okay. And I start to proceed slowly on. And sure enough, boom, out comes the third, and I hit it. And I get out, and I look in front of my car, and I think, where have I seen this before? Now, the deer apparently wasn't injured. It got up, it ran off. But I went back several times during that day to make sure. I even looked in the woods to make sure I hadn't seen the deer, that it was really okay. And I began to think how heavy my heart was about the deer. And it wasn't long before it dawned on me. If I care that much about that innocent life, how much more precious is human life? And that was the illustration that I believe God clearly gave me and marked it in my mind before he gave it to me to share with you. So it's interesting. You know, go to verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Notice that visions are mentioned as well. So again, God speaks to us in various ways. So Samuel is lying down in his place, and Eli in his, and here's verse 4 through 6. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Perfectly reasonable to think the audible voice is Eli, right? But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down, and again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So, I mean, we're okay with it up to that point, right? Sounds normal enough. I mean, what's going on? We don't know yet. Now, here's where it gets even more interesting. Look at verse 7. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Notice this. There's a correlation between knowing God and hearing from him. Keep in mind, Samuel either wrote or supplied the information about this incident. Samuel is, of course, one of the authors of 1 Samuel. And it's a book that goes back so far. You know, there are different ideas on authorship with Samuel, but he is always part of it. He supplied this firsthand information. And this shows us that there is a learning experience that happens when it comes to hearing from God. It's something that takes time to understand what is happening, what is being said, if it is from God. Because sometimes, again, we may hear things that are not from God, and it may simply be our subconscious mind. Especially if you have wrestled with something like OCD at one point in your life. You know, you may have the sense, "Oh, I've got to do this." It takes time to sort this out. But let's go to verses 8 and 9. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Now let's stop right there. The Lord is about to reveal what will happen in days to come to Eli, to his sons, to the nation, and it is absolutely tragic. And Eli wasn't all bad, but he wasn't strong. His sons, however, were evil, and he failed to restrain them. Yet Eli, for all of his faults, loved the Lord. And in this instance, he gives Samuel some very sound advice. So in this part, let's move directly to application. Would you like to understand what it is like for us to personally hear from God? Would you like to be able to better sort that out in your own heart and life? Who wouldn't, right? But if you responded, "I'm not so sure, that's a little scary," I get it. I completely get it. Because again, this is God whom we are dealing with. But notice this. Samuel was already hearing from God in this instance, and he didn't realize it. And often, I believe that when we hear from God, we may have distinct words impressed upon us that we recognize in our spirits. When I was running from a call to ministry, and I was wanting to pursue a very lucrative career in international business, the Lord spoke two words to me. And I never forgot it, because those words came to me so clearly, and it was so out of the blue, and I'm riding in my car on the interstate in California, when all of a sudden, as I'm thinking about this lucrative life, I hear the words, "So what?" And I've shared that with you before, but it was so clear, it rocked my world. It was a course change on my life. Hearing from God may challenge us, but he also strengthens and comforts and reveals truths that we would not know otherwise. And he gives us insights into his heart and what he is doing. For example, Psalm 25:14 tells us, "The Lord confides in those who fear him." The Lord confides in those who fear him. What does that mean? If it doesn't mean that he tells us things that are special because we know him. He wants us to come near to him and to be open to him. And this involves prayer and communication from the heart. So if you would like to place yourself in a position where you will hear from him, where you're more able to sort all of this out, here are three quick points from Eli's advice to Samuel. First, pray the same prayer. Speak, Lord. Tell God, as you are praying at other times, that you genuinely desire to hear from him. And if you don't, then talk about that with him as well, because that reveals something else. But just be open with him about this. Go to him out of love and ask for this, because we want this. And the reason why we want this is this is life with the lid off, where God is real and you know it. And again, remember that all of this happens within the context of God's Word and within the context of community. where I may think that I've heard from God about something, but oh, it helps to go to someone else whom I know is walking with Him and say, what do you think? Some put themselves in a doctrinal straitjacket and don't want to consider this as a spiritual reality. I know, because I was raised in a church like that for part of my young life. But I believe this is part of normal Christian experience according to the Word of God. And if something like this that I'm talking about this morning, which is really very mild, but so vital, is regarded as questionable doctrinally, then what do we do with Peter quoting the words of Joel in Acts 2, saying, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Peter is talking about the change that the Holy Spirit makes in the lives of God's people. And I would maintain that this is very clearly a spiritual reality. Second point, same phrase from Eli. Speak, Lord, for your servant. Stop right there. Hard stop. Don't go any further. Speak, Lord, for your servant. This is about living for God. God wants us to hear from Him, so we will live for Him. And we will usually only hear His voice with any regularity only if, mark this, obedience is a real thing with us. I sincerely believe that the amount that we will hear from God is commensurate to the amount of obedience in our lives. Think of the words, conversely, in Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Do you see the disconnect in communication that happens as we cherish sin in our heart when we talk to God? I believe that disconnect remains if we choose to disobey. Think of Jesus' words in John 15:14. You are my friends if you do what I command. And again, as we saw in Psalm 25, the Lord confides, right, in those who fear. What do friends do? They confide in each other. They care about each other's hearts.